The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey everyone, it's Chris Perfett, host of the Pride of Detroit PODcast. So the podcast you're about to listen to is part of a new feature we're adding to our podcast feeds. We're rolling it out with this one. We're calling it the Scraps. In case you're not aware, we record these podcasts live on twitch.tv/prideofdetroit, where we have a live audience who joins us. They chat with us. They watch the show. We do it like a radio show. We don't record the podcast. We don't say, all right, start over again. We do everything live. Every time we throw to commercial, though, we sit down and we chat with that live audience for a while. People send us questions. We answer them, whatever's on our mind. We have a lot. It's a lot of grab ass. It's a lot of thanking our followers and those who monetarily support us on Twitch, but sometimes we do veer into topics that don't usually make it into the main POD cast. You know, usually it's smaller Lions subjects, or we're talking about other NFL teams, other Detroit sports, or sometimes silly things we used to get into back when we were starting POD cast in the early years, where we'd start talking about, like, you know, nachos or arguing about movies or whatever. Things that we've kind of cut out as we become a more focused Lions podcast. These things just don't show up in POD cast anymore. But we figured we wanted to at least give you the option to start to consume that content if you would like to. It's not going to be nearly on topic like POD cast is, but I still think there's probably our listeners out there who would appreciate this. If you just want focused Lions talk, feel free to skip this podcast and just move along to First Bite or POD cast. But if you want kind of the lighter side of Pride of Detroit, then jump on right in. This is the Scraps. This is the first attempt to make the Scraps. We welcome you.
Welcome to the Scraps.
Here's a fun tweet from Adam Schefter, y'all.
Uh-oh.
Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers is not expected to attend Green Bay's mandatory minicamp.
All right, but is he going to get fined or no?
That's the question. He is subject to almost $100,000 in fines, but yep, not going to be there. And that's a significant play, right? Like, the Packers have
dug their important play.
Yeah, the Packers have dug their heels in and said, like, we're not trading him. Ball was in Aaron Rodgers' court, and this is a huge sign that, guess what? He's dug in, too.
Yeah, this is...
This is me making the slow Grinch smile
face. This is my making the shocked Pikachu face right now. Like, really? He's doing exactly what he said he was going to do. I think we had talked before about, like, Deshaun Watson, will he really act on, you know, I think that... We all knew he was going to act on what he was going to do before a bleep hit the fan for him. We never really got to see that with the Texans because they stood by him. But this is the same thing. And now it's with someone who's even more stubborn and even more. I don't want to use the word petty, but he definitely holds grudges. Rodgers. Like, this is a man who cut his entire family, most of his family, out of his life over some past slights.
For sure. It's really going to just be so telling whether or not the Packers end up finding him, you know, each day that he's not at mandatory minicamp. And I would venture to guess that they're not going to, because if they were, then that would send that. I mean, come on, that would only
that goes
piss
nuclear.
Off, that, that goes that nuclear. Would, yeah, that would only piss off Rodgers even more, right? So
Although they have reached that point. Like, I think, who was it? It was a Packers executive saying, like, this has divided our fan base, literally trying to putting it on Rodgers that, you know, you've turned our fans against each other.
Yeah. And it's clear that Rodgers doesn't want to play because he had a $500,000 workout bonus that he could have got.
True.
So he's already $500,000 in the hole, and each take is away another $100,000.
No. A total of $100,000 for the 3 days.
Yeah.
It's about $93,000.
It could be about $600,000 in the hole now, really.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. And then I think once training camp comes around, like, it's not optional to find him. The player gets fined for not showing up to training camp. So, I mean, that's far off. We're a month away, but it's interesting because I hear Packers fans talk about this, and since everything has gone right in their lives as Packers fans, a lot of them just assume this is going to work itself out. A lot of them just assume, like, yeah, Brett Favre threw a fit and he's going to show up. He's going to eventually show up, then eventually get traded, and we're eventually going to have Jordan Love and eventually going to be fine. I think there's a lot of Packers fans that just assume, like, Aaron Rodgers will eventually come around.
Maybe the ones you see on Twitter. I know for at least for the two Packers fans I work with, they've already resigned themselves that Rodgers is out of town. Like, so I think it's maybe they're just going through the stages of grief a little faster. Maybe. But I know at least one guy who ran a Packers podcast literally yelling at Aaron Rodgers, like, we made you. It's like, okay, man. But it's divided them for sure. I think that executive is absolutely right that it's divided their fans. It's just, I don't know how much. Yeah, it's
It tickles me that there are just so many spoiled Packers fans out there that are just like, oh, we're going to be fine. Like, oh, it's not a big deal. Like, even if he doesn't show up, we're just going to have Jordan Love. We'll be fine. It's just like, oh, so you're fine. Just losing last year's MVP. You're just fine losing a first ballot Hall of Famer who clearly has left, you know, he clearly has stuff left to show. Okay, sure. Whatever you want, Packers fans. Keep throwing out your memes about how you're not paying attention to the rest of the NFC North and you're all high and mighty, but this is trouble. And I got a big old smile on my face when you guys are in trouble.
If I donate 0 bits, can I get an Orlovsky running out of the end zone to commemorate 0 bits? What was Orlovsky's number? Was it 8?
8, I believe, six. Yeah. Was it 6? It might have been 6.
I think he might have went back and forth between a couple of them.
Either way, whatever his number is, yes.
Dan wore 3 different numbers with the Detroit Lions.
Really?
Yeah, he was number 6 in the 2008 season. He was number 8 in his final year with Detroit. Do you know what his number was when he first came to Detroit?
Ooh,
I don't. But I have my fingers crossed is what I really, really hope it is.
It was not 69.
No, I hope it was 2. And it was just a sign that he was going to get safetied in a serious way sometime down the road.
It couldn't have been 9. It wasn't 9, was it? It was 9?
Yeah, it was 9.
Wow. Oh. And he didn't give it up to Stafford because, he was 6 by 2008. Yeah. But Oh, wow.
And then, you know, the quarterback who was 8 when he was in Detroit was it
wasn't Harrington, was it?
Kitna.
Oh, that's
right. Kitna. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So did Dan Orlovsky forgive his number to John Kitna? What a man. Remember when we didn't have quarterbacks? That was a sad time.
That we lasted got Joey 50 Harrington years. In there. Remember who remembers Garcia?
Remember Dante, Garcia. Who remembers Lions Dante. Legend Dante Culpepper?
Culpepper.
You can roll on.
Wow.
Let's not play this game. I think
someone keeps joking. Someone at work keeps joking that I'm always our friend Jonas Knox, who's been on the show. He always, when he introduces me on his radio show, he always likes to joke that I am desperately trying to find a signed Scott Mitchell jersey.
I think 19 is a good number for quarterbacks. I think it's an underrated number for quarterbacks.
Anything with double digits seems like an underrated number for quarterbacks. It also seems weird, too. I
disagree highly.
I like 19. Why not? Why don't you like it?
I don't know. I just doesn't. I like the single digits.
You like the single general. Digits?
There's a reason why every cornerback wants single digits is because they're cool.
Nobody said my favorite quarterback yet.
Rodney Pete?
No.
Well, Mike if it's McMahon. Not Dante. Charlie Batch? McMahon. Wow.
Mike McMahon.
Wow. What? That doesn't fit you at all.
It doesn't?
I could have sworn you were a Dante Culpepper guy.
He was mobile.
That's all.
Eric Kramer.
It was that
Eric
all along.
Eric Kramer.
Why are we doing this to ourselves right now?
I have something else. I don't know if we should save this for the podcast or not. Probably not. We can talk about it here. But Julio Jones and Carson Wentz both get traded in the 2021 calendar year, and neither of those players fetch a first round pick for either of their teams.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell did the Lions get two first round picks and a third round pick and Jared Goff for Matthew Stafford?
Well, very carefully.
Yeah, real quick, Jeremy, you missed the beginning of the part, but I was saying like
Julio Jones.
Yeah, and Carson Wentz, 2021, both get traded. Neither of them fetch a first round draft pick. The Lions get two for Matthew Stafford.
I think Julio Jones, that was more the reality of he's a veteran wide receiver, and those just don't fetch first rounders. As much as people I think Julio's great, I just don't see the value there for that. For Wentz, I think it's just Wentz sucks. I'm sorry. Like, I know he had the MVP season, but he sucks. And I think Indy's in a bad place. But no, I know what you mean is that the Lions somehow got a king, like more than just a first round, but as you said, two first rounds, a quarterback and a third rounder. Like, they got a king's ransom for Stafford. And I think that's more about Stafford than it is about Wentz and Julio Jones or the rest of the market. It's just, you know, we've had all the hot takes questioning how great Stafford is, but clearly the Rams and the rest of the market knew his value to be that great.
So then the question becomes, if Wentz does suck, which I am of the belief that he is less good than he is good.
Suck it, Colts.
Weren't we all just spending the offseason talking about how incredible Ed Dodds is and Chris Ballard and the Indianapolis Colts front office are a bunch of geniuses?
Yeah, that's what a lot of Colts fans are trying to educate me on. That they were desperately trying to educate me on while trying to email Jeremy asking for me to be fired for being unprofessional.
I mean, I do think things lined up so perfectly for the Lions in this instance, because the first thing I think that's maybe most important is they were out there first. Mm-hmm. They were the first one to have their quarterback on the market. They did it before everyone started panicking about, not that people didn't know about the salary cap and how troublesome it would be, but they got in even before free agency, before teams were balancing these contracts and all that sort of stuff. And they had a lot of bidders. And I think the Rams overpaid for Matthew Stafford? Yeah, I think they probably did, honestly. And they found a team that was just an absolute perfect fit for Matthew Stafford, because one,
and their
it's
need
a team
for it, yeah.
It's a team that was, you know, knocking on the door of a Super Bowl. It's a team that Matthew Stafford is more than happy to go to. And it's a team that has this philosophy of first round picks aren't worth that much to us. We're willing to spend them to get to the next level. And Julio Jones goes on the market after free agency, after the draft, and sure,
after the June 1st designation too.
Right. And yes, he was, I think people knew he was available before then, but they still have to fit a pretty hefty contract into the equation after everything is done. And that makes it trickier. And certainly a 32-year-old quarterback is more valuable than a 32-year-old wide receiver. But I think the Lions, yeah, and I think it's hard to argue. And really from the get-go, everyone was saying it, like the Lions got a ransom. And they should be happy with how they handled that situation. Again, there will always be the debate whether they should have taken the Carolina deal. And it's a debate worth having. But the Lions couldn't have handled that better. From the get-go, and it really put a feather in Brad Holmes's cap from the start.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, Ryan, do you think, sorry if it's not Lions related, but do you feel like, as you yourself being a betting man and someone else who watches the rest of the NFL too, though, does Julio Jones on the Titans move the needle for them, for you at all?
I think so. Big time for me. Yeah. It does, because here's the thing. Corey Davis just went out in a very depleted in terms of the contracts that teams were willing to give out. Corey Davis went out and he got paid.
Mm-hmm.
What is Julio Jones going to do in the Corey Davis role? And if you want, so if all of a sudden now you're going to give this extra attention to Julio Jones, well, AJ Brown, who, you know, was a Pro Bowler last year, well, he's going to feast. And you know what, if you want to lock him up and you want to spread out your defense like that, well, Derrick Henry is in the backfield.
Yeah, it makes a much harder scheme.
I don't think that any team in the NFL has the skill position players that the Tennessee Titans do. Like, Tampa Bay Bucks included.
Ooh. Is it enough to move them up to maybe challenge the Chiefs in your mind for AFC favorite for the preseason, or are you still going with the Kansas City?
It's really hard because here's the thing. The Ryan Tannehill renaissance, right? I think everybody has this perception of Ryan Tannehill as being the guy who was in Miami under people like Joe Philbin. But Tannehill has completely resurrected his career in Tennessee. And you know what? Maybe it is a product of being surrounded with the kind of talent that they have. Their offensive line is solid. They have Derrick Henry. They have AJ Brown. They've had these skill position players. But okay, they added one of the greatest wide receivers of all time who can still do it, who still has it. I don't see what, like, AFC championship game or bust.
Yeah, I just, for me, what kind of it moves the needle, but not as much for me, just because it is Tannehill for me. Like, he can't really, like, Julio Jones will stretch the field for you. And I don't know if Tannehill has the arm to really do that sometimes. I know my Rams friends were very upset because they wanted to see Jones with Stafford, because he would have been a perfect pairing for Stafford. But, you know, I don't know how much more capital the Rams have to give away.
Well, I was going to say, too, if the Rams were able to pull that off, I would have to be just perplexed at how the salary cap works anymore.
Very carefully. Magic.
The weird thing to me about him landing in Tennessee, though, is that team was already good on offense. That was already the number four offense in the league in terms of points scored last year. Where they failed was defense. And I'm not so sure that they got better. Like, the room for them to improve on offense isn't that much, I don't think. And sure, like, just because you're fourth doesn't mean you can't be first and first by a wide margin. But, I mean, you're scoring 27 points a game. No, you're scoring 30.7 points per game last year.
Jeez, wow.
I mean, how much more can you really make that rate? How much more of a difference does Julio Jones make? And listen, it makes them better. There's no doubt about it. And they're a better offense than they were 2 days ago. No question about it. I'm just kind of wondering, in terms of building an overall team, how much of a difference maker is he? And I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm not complaining if I'm a Titans fan right now. I'm just kind of curious as to what the plan is for the other side of the ball.
Yeah, I think from what Ryan was talking about, they did have to replace Corey Davis. And it does basically, again, like, it's just hard to plan for them now. You either, you know, you defend inside and worry about Derrick Henry, or you stretch to worry about Julio Jones, and you can beat them if they go one way or another then.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's a good question you asked, Jeremy, but if three of their first four draft picks, defensive side of the ball. Like, they may have hit the lottery with Caleb Farley.
Relying on rookies, I don't know if that's a good strategy.
But all I'm saying is that I think what they did this offseason, they didn't completely ignore that side of the ball. And sure. I'm right there with you. I think relying on rookies will only get you in trouble. But if those rookies can be propped up by the other side of the ball, like, almost scoring at will, because here's the one, Chris, Patrick Mahomes is both of our large adult son.
Our ketchup loving son.
Yeah, we share custody over the Kermit voiced thrower of perfect spirals and all the trick passes. But in Ryan Tannehill's last 24 starts with the Titans, he's had better numbers than Patrick Mahomes. A 114 QB rating, 61 total touchdowns to just 10 interceptions, and a 67.7 completion percentage. Like, all of those numbers are better than what Pat Mahomes has done in the past 24 games with the Chiefs. And I love the emphasis on Nick Saban being like, you know, the domino that tipped everything over. Like, Nick Saban's, good word on Julio Jones was what, you know, made the Titans feel comfortable about pulling the trigger. Not the fact that the dude is like, has been put right up insane stats, and
Nick Saban was his coach a dozen years ago.
Like, how
if you're gonna judge me on the person I was 12 years ago, you're not getting the right scouting report.
Yeah. Are you gonna call my boss who I like quit my job because I wanted to coach Powder Puff football? Like, that's gonna be my judge of character.
I respect Spider-Man. I just think they need like one more reboot. Then I'll feel good.
You heard it here first, folks. Jeremy will not respect Spider-Man without a reboot. Jeremy's lacking in Spider-Man respect.
Like, I haven't quite picked up the origin story of Spider-Man yet. I think I need one more reboot to really drive it home. Was it his Uncle May that he lived with? It was
Uncle May? No, you see, his parents took him to see the Mark of Zorro, and they got, you know, held up outside of the theater, right. Yep. And there was the pearls, and they both got shot, and then I'm being told by our invisible producer that I'm thinking of Superman.
Okay, yeah, that sounds right.
You got
Batman's the alien outcast guy, right? Like, he had some sort of freakish accident that made him an alien
Batman,
or something.
It means,
and then
he has
that watch
DNA
that turns him into other aliens.
We're doing a very boomer thing here where we just it's like when Belichick goes out there and he says, I don't know about Snapface or InstaChat, when he totally knows what those things are. Like, that's what we're doing here.
Guys have all this wrong. It was when two spiders had sex. They made a spider. They made a Spider-Man.
A spider and
where did the man
human
DNA come
sex
from? And why do not ever say sex like you did that time. Two spider had sex. Sorry. Once you get me talking about superhero movies, I can't go to the movies anymore. There's nothing for me anymore. It makes me sad.
Yeah, well, you can thank everyone getting up on superhero movies for that.
Yeah. And
now we get
so many people have ironically watched fucking Fast and the Furious that there's 18 billion of them.
Oh, no. I mean, well, who was doing that?
Yeah, who do we have to blame for that?
I did it once. I did it once in a 24-hour period.
Did you see that they wanted to, like, crossover? I think this is more of a question for Ryan.
Hell yeah.
Crossover Jurassic Park and Fast and the Furious.
Yes. Why wouldn't you?
Don driving a Charger near a cliff and then kicking a Velociraptor out the door of his Charger.
How
off the cliff? That'd be awesome.
How fun does that sound?
That sounds
how fun
amazing.
Is it? How fun
be
does
better
it sound?
Than the second Jurassic World by like a million miles.
You would have Ludacris riding a Brontosaurus. Who doesn't want to see that?
Excuse me, it's a Brachiosaur.
Did you ever see a Fast and Furious movie in theaters?
No, I've only seen Fast and Furious movies in that 24-hour span. That is the only time
Jesus
I've ever seen
Christ.
It. And it's probably the only time I ever will see it. I will not see it outside of that 24-hour. I'm not going to see.
Have you?
Fast
did you
9.
See?
I'm not going to see Fast 10 your seatbelts. I'm not going to see any of that shit.
Fast 10 your seatbelts. I'm going to call up Universal right now. Let them know we've got the script for the next one.
Jeremy defends fun in the first segment, but nobody can watch Fast and the Furious.
Shit, he got me.
That was The Scraps.
more to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.